Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the Within Sights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show.
I'm here in New York, and it's really windy. I hope you can hear me, guys.
Welcome to Within Sights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
Hey, this is Katie.
Mark Mattini.
We are here live in Columbus, Ohio, where it's warmer than New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts and all those coastal cities out there. We send love and prayers to our friends over there who are snowed in. My son's over there in New York. According to weather reports, New York didn't get hit as bad as they thought they were going to get hit. Mm. New Jersey got clobbered pretty good, and I guess Massachusetts got clobbered.
And further up the eastern coast.
So those folks are all snowed bound and snowed in, and enjoy it. Make a snowman or something. I don't know. But, yeah, just make the best of it today.
Yeah.
I was watching the news feeds yesterday, and it was incredible. It looked like a freaking hurricane. Of snow. Did you watch any of it? Did you see any of it?
No.
Yeah, I saw just a little bit of it. This morning I was up early and turned on the news and saw they showed the people on the coast, like in some of the little island inlets in up in the Providence, Rhode Island and all that area.
Mm-hmm.
It did look like hurricane weather. The water blowing in and the ice, and people had put those little inlets. They told them to move to inward to inland a little bit more.
You know, we got lucky that thing kind of went around us a little bit, kind of hooked and went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming towards us.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be pretty bad there for a while. It was spitting,
mm-hmm.
But then it just kind of petered out before mm-hmm. it got too awfully bad.
Yeah, we got a little bit. And then we got, about 2-3 inches of the snow. And then this morning it was in the teens, so... just cleaning my car off was a little bit. There was ice and stuff. So I got the car warm, and the ice just slid right off the windows and stuff. So, but my fingers were cold.
Yeah, but you guys had fun getting here down the street.
Yeah, it says. I mean, the main roads are good, but I had to stop. Well, my keys got stuck in my front door.
Oh my goodness!
And then I'd warmed the car up previously, luckily, but I had. Had to stop twice for emergency squads.
Yeah.
And then, the side streets are a little, some are a bit on the iffy side. So even though most of it looks clear, just be careful on the turns and on the side streets.
Yeah, I know. I just found out that my four-wheel drive on my truck doesn't engage. So my transmission's
fantabulous.
Fine.
Fantabulous.
So I made a turn and I was like, what did you do? I was doing one of those.
Little fishtailing.
Yeah, fishtailing. I was going deep sea diving if I wasn't careful. But yeah, it was fishtailing bad. And then I knew had to adjust, have my driving style a little bit. My first clue was when the four-wheel drive light didn't come on. Like, maybe it just burned out, It wasn't. It just could be a blown fuse or a loose wire, so I'll have to take a look at that.
Okay.
That's one thing I love about my car, is it's got the little lights that come on. Like, it tells you when you're on icy treading.
Oh, really?
It's got the little... they look like little swerving
smart cars. little computerized.
But it's just a Toyota, but it's
Toyota.
I like that because it lets me know before I maybe would figure out that I'm on icy treading.
Tread lightly.
Well, I wanted to bring up a topic, so maybe we can kind of gear that way and we can move around a little bit. But before we get on the topic, would you like to share some astrology with us?
The only, we're in a calmish period compared to normal. The big thing happening today is that at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time this morning, Venus went into the sign of Pisces. So it's likely to make people a little more in tune to wanting to have some dream time. Some spend some time in your imagination, imagining what kind of reality you want to create. And that, you know, Pisces is very soft and fuzzy. We had a catchphrase we was using a couple years ago. Pink fuzz, hot in clouds. That's Neptune. So people tend to like want to spend time with their animals and watch romance movies, and you know, it's a little softer. And Pisces is my sign, so I always enjoy the 3-week visitation of Venus and Pisces.
Cool.
So that's in effect for about the next 3 weeks.
All right. Well, the reason I wanted to bring this topic up is because we're kind of a sedentary, you know, type of existence, you know, even though we're active and we do exercise and stuff. But, you know, a lot of us drive to go 4 blocks. You know, a lot of us, you know, won't even walk a mile. You know, I'm speaking for myself as one. But, I mean, I was talking to young people. They would drive 2 blocks to work. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, they're in shape and stuff, but they're young. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, so especially in wintertime, you tend to eat things that are a little more high in sugars and a little more high in fats and stuff. So your diet changes a little bit in the wintertime in order to bulk up a little. So I wanted to talk about it because there's a lot of people who have chronic pains that are aches and pains, and they're not sure why it is. But, you know, you and I have talked about this, Katie, that a lot of it has to do with diet and what you eat versus what, you know, what you're not doing. So ingesting good foods is super important. But the problem is that I find is, and I have someone in my family who I work with, that they just want to take a pill and fix it. Okay, so pill popping, you know, is okay. I mean, to some degree, some things we need and some things we don't. You know, antibiotics are good. We need them, you know, when we're having serious infections. But I think there's also, there's a place where self-monitoring and self-working and not relying that someone else is going to take care of you is important. Okay, because it's easy to get addicted to anything. You can get addicted to, you know, just doing anything. You know, those who tell you can't get addicted to things, I mean, that's not true. Everything has addictive qualities.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what brings it? So, I found a list here about foods that can cause chronic pain, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Well, right off the bat, the first one was fried foods. Mm. I mean, boom, right off the bat. And the reason they were saying that fried foods are, and I'm going to say something real quick. None of us here are doctors,
right?
But all of us eat this stuff. So we have firsthand on what it may do to you. Okay,
right.
So, you know, consult with your doctors, consult with, you know, your nutritionist, whatever, and talk to them about it. But these things have been proven, and they're scientifically, you know, shown that they do this. Fried foods, if anything in moderation, you have to eat anything in moderation. We know
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah. But this is chronic. So the word is chronic. So it means that
continual,
yeah,
long term.
Right. So obviously you're doing too much of one of these factors or a combination of. So I want you to run out and just stop eating everything because we said so. That's not what we're saying. We just wanted to share some things with you.
I'm not.
Fried foods, number one, is high in omega-6 fatty acids, and which is good. You know, that's not a problem. But here's the problem. When you have too much of it, you start getting other things in the body that causes inflammation, okay, and that causes chronic pain. So it's just everything in moderation. That was number one on the list. Number two was, I was kind of shocked, was beer. Yeah, too much beer over the course of time can cause gout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also, I'm just going to stop for 1 second. Also, most beer is made with fluoridated water, just on a side note.
And GMO flour.
And wheat. Right. Yep.
Yeah, and that's true. And then, you know, fried foods probably also has GMO battering of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. One of the coolest things that I'm noticing now is that people are starting to put GMO-free labels on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make a concerted effort to buy them because they're really not that much more expensive, I've found, you know. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's nice to know that you have that option. I mean, that's always nice to know you have the option to buy stuff a certain way. And They're not saying you can't drink beer. They're just saying cut down, avoid drinking more than 2 beers a week. For some people, that's probably hard to do. But
some people have a beer a day or
yeah.
a couple of beers a day.
And, you know, and it's good for flushing. It's good. It's all beer is also one of those things. It's a tonic, too. It helps flush your system, helps flush your kidneys. So it's one of those things that, you know, like anything in moderation.
Right.
It just become number three, of course, is a gimme. But this is hard to avoid is processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Processed foods are just everywhere.
Everywhere.
We can't get away from it. Box cans or whatever.
Right. Now I don't. I'm not fantabulous at following these, but a good rule of thumb on that a couple of my more food health conscious friends have told me is that if something has more than 5 ingredients to it, it's probably got a lot of.
Yeah.
It's got 37 ingredients in it, and it's probably a lot of garbage and.
Yeah.
Processed, prefabricated stuff in it.
And you know where I see a lot of ingredients? Is when you go to the bakery.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
When
yeah.
you go to a bakery, man, it blows my freaking mind.
I was just thinking about that.
Were you thinking of that? Have you ever seen the bakery list?
Yeah, because we were, remember the drum circle we were at, and I said, don't eat those white cookies because they've got, they're going to make your stomach hurt. And then I said, eat my cookies because they're made with good, wholesome ingredients. And then Tony ate one of the white cookies, and later on he said, it's your fault.
Yeah, his stomach was hurting, yeah.
Because you told me my stomach was going to hurt.
So how do you know you're eating processed food if it's coming out of a box or out of a can? That's a pretty good sign right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, but this is the society we live in now. This is the world we live in. We're being fed. You know, unless we're actually growing something or canning things, drying things out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a certain window of time to do this. Like when spring comes, you know, if you don't have your seeds start and you start your seeds growing inside or whatever, getting them ready for to be transplanted, you don't have a huge window to do a lot of stuff unless you have an indoor greenhouse or whatever. I hope people start to realize that taking care of their bodies is super important versus somebody else taking care of your body for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we've done. We've given our permission in some sorts to say, hey, you know what? We're going to trust that you're putting the right ingredients in that. But boy, did we find out over the course of time that that's not happening. That's not happening at all. Even the things that we think are good, sometimes, I don't know. You know, you have to really question. You know, I think, were you with me when we were up? No. I went to Bob Evans and I asked him, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know where your chicken comes from? Don't take it personal. Do you know where your chicken comes from? And they're like, no, it doesn't. Does it come from the farm? I wanted to know if it came from Bob Evans' farm. And they said no. They said some of the pig does, but the chicken doesn't. So, you know, he didn't know how to track it because, you know, there's a lot of stuff with arsenic and foods and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm trying to at least learn how to ask the right questions versus, you know, just assuming that everything's okay.
Yeah, when they were small, just to Central Ohio and Ohio region, then a lot of the food, because one of my grandfathers used to go there all the time and work, but a lot of their food did come from the farm because we got to go to the farm and meet, you know, Bob and Dale and the go around mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And they had a huge farm. But then later on, as it got so big and the children took over and they branched out into other parts of the, mm-hmm. you know, Ohio and the U.S., then they had to go mass.
And, you know, they're not the only ones to do that. A lot of companies have done that. A lot of companies do that. They you know, they start to realize that profits is more important than, you know, quality sometimes. Because, quite frankly, a lot of places, their food's not as good as it probably used to be.
Agree.
You know, and it's just, and you know, we know that. We just eat it because it's convenient and we can. But I got an update from Giovanni, a Roman reporter in New York City. He just texted me.
I like nice. You.
He goes, Dad, it barely snowed. The lamest blizzard of all time. Laughing out loud.
Nice.
So, of course, he's in college there, so I'm sure he wanted a day off like he got yesterday, so... But, you know, I'll text GV later. Thank you, GV. I know you're not listening, but just wanted to give a shout-out to that.
Here you go, hang out with his buddies.
Now, here's a food that I think is pretty, I think it's just about everything, if not in everything, is glutens. You know, boy, gluten flu, you know, things with, you know, processed wheats and stuff.
Okay.
Rye, barley, and all that kind of stuff. It's not, you know, not, you know, my theory is this, okay, this is just Iggy's theory, that at one time you didn't see a lot of gluten intolerant people. You didn't see a lot of people who had these issues.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, in the last maybe, what, 10 to 15, 20 years or something like that, you started gradually seeing this big increase. Then all of a sudden, boom, in the last 5 years, it's just been tremendous. Well, if anybody knows anything about how wheat, flour is transported in this world, well, it has a long shelf life to begin with. The farmer grows the wheat, gets cut down, takes it to the processing plant, sits there for about 5 years inside one of the silos. Okay.
And naturally it lasts for a long time without, you know...
As long as it doesn't get wet.
Yeah.
But within that time, it picks up spores and it picks up all kinds of things. So once those 5 years go, the next truck pulls up, takes it to a cleaning center, puts it on a conveyor belt. It's a screen. How do they clean it? They shake it. They put aluminum and different types of oxides on it to clean the wheat before it gets processed. Then it goes to another warehouse and sits there for about another 5 years. After those 5 years, it finally goes to the milling plant where it gets milled down. It gets crunched up and turned into flour. All right. Once that's completed, it gets bundled up in these big, huge bundles. It gets shipped across the world to God knows where, maybe China, mostly China, you know, mostly the Asian countries because they use a lot of flour, or in South America as well, down to Argentina. And so that flour can actually sit there for 10 years in a warehouse on the bottom of the pile when they move it up. Okay, you're talking about 15 years of processed flour sitting around. So what happens? The flour becomes super hard. So
taste, cement.
So what happens is, what do? How do you break it down? You can't throw it in the machine because you'll break all the machinery and the parts because it's super strong, super hard. Well, they put dough conditioner in it. Dough conditioners, they flood it in there to moisten it and break it down.
I just don't even think I like the sounds of dough conditioner.
Okay. All right. So, and here, I'm not even at the bad part yet, okay? Once they do that, it goes out, goes to Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread makes it, and it's sold to the general public. 15 years of flour in storage. But here's the thing. My theory was this, okay? Our body was acclimated to that kind of process for some period of time. So we were able to, you know, absorb the dough conditioners or whatever. And I'm not talking about the little farms. I'm talking about the big processors here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now, all that surplus is gone now. It has been used. Now the new GMO-styled wheat and barleys and grains and all that stuff is starting to get into the food system, food chain. So what was somewhat good for you is no longer there anymore. It's been processed. It's been used or destroyed. Now we're eating GMO flour. We have no clue. We have no idea because they don't have to say what it is. They make it one ingredient, and they don't have to disclose the one ingredient. They just have to label ingredients. So now we have GMO, you know, in the food chain, and we're eating it, and you see more gluten-free people. And now I'm starting to have, like, these weird, you know, like, episodes with flour, or types of flour. I catch myself coughing a little bit, you know. You know, it's you can tell something's not right. And gluten just is glue, you know. Mm. You start taking out certain letters in it, it just spelled the word glue.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are gluten intolerant and have issues with it. I think with, you know, people have always eaten wheat, you know, forever. So I'm, and again, I'm not the expert. I'm, you know, I know 197 mm-hmm. people that have more knowledge than this on me, but just intuitively, I just kind of wonder if it's actually the wheat, that the gluten that people are intolerant to, or is it the GMOs that are, and I guess it would probably be almost impossible to separate out exactly what is causing the intolerance, but, you know, we've been eating wheat forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me that everyone would suddenly be allergic to wheat. It seems to me the issue is the rise in GMOs.
The rise in GMOs and the rise
mixed in with the wheat
and the
whatnot,
chemicals they use to process this stuff.
Yes,
that's the thing we don't know. That's right. The hidden factor too. That's the factor that they don't have to disclose. They don't have to tell you about that. They don't have to put in their ingredients because it's not an ingredient.
Because they're saying, oh, it's just wheat. It's just genetically modified so it can resist pests and it can resist spores and it can resist all kinds of stuff. But actually, when they make it resistant to natural things in nature, they make it resistant also for the human body.
So we're in nature too, right?
Yeah, because the human body can't process it either. So they make it resistant to us too. So,
and that's kind of scary, you know. And that's my biggest fear is that the things that they don't have to label, that they're by law don't have to even tell you what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the chemicals.
And that's one of the scary things too, is they're supposed to label all the ingredients that are in products now. And you see sometimes they'll list out the main, if I'm not mistaken, and again, I'm not an expert in this field, but when you look at a package, box, can, whatever, the order the ingredients are listed in are not in alphabetical order. I think they're listed as to what the most of is in that product. And sometimes I've noticed it'll have ingredients listed out, and then, like, once you get to the bottom, it'll say various – I'm going to probably screw this phrase up – various taste enhancers or various color things. Like, they'll kind of – you know, this, and also various – preservatives, also various blah, blah, and it's like, so what's the little various, you know? Right. I mean, it's,
well, you know, though, anything that says yellow number 5 or red number whatever,
right?
That's petroleum based product. That's oil. That's petrol. Our body, the human body, is designed to break down things and flush it out.
Right.
But there's some things that our body keeps as well. That's the problem.
Right.
The food industry has created a system. Of people, I know this for a fact. And I've been shown this and I've been taught this. Our bodies, okay, let me go back one step, okay? A lot of these petroleum products that you see on the market, a lot of things that the petroleum companies have, they can't just discard it into the water system or bury it or burn it or whatever. So our government and these food companies decided that they were going to get together and figure out a system to get rid of this stuff. Because if you go back in time a little bit, you don't see a lot of stuff in our food, okay? It's more of a recent time that this has happened.
Yes.
So they've come compromised. So they had to figure out some kind of system to break down these products and transmute them and change them into a form where they can be processed back to the earth. Well, the factory that they decided to use was us. So they put it in small dosages, small amounts, okay? They put it in really small... okay, so our body doesn't, you know, get hurt too bad. But they put in really small amounts in everything that you eat, and you flush it, you poop it, you pee it, whatever, and it goes back to the earth. That's considered a viable recycling system. We are one big recycling plant.
Yep.
Right. The organic.
I've got some lip gloss here, and I'm wondering what is exactly in this lip gloss.
You'll never know because they don't have to tell you. It's not food. Unless you go to the manufacturer and you ask them what's in there, they'll probably give it to you. But there's so many things.
I don't want to know.
See, that's the thing. We have so many things that we use every day that we don't even know. We're so worried about GMO this and GMO that. That some of the things that we use, you know, every day on a natural routine day can be, you know, affecting us and we don't even know it.
Toxic
to our system.
Right, and it's not until... a lot of people have specific reactions and start talking with each other and stuff that, I mean, because the FDA passes a lot of stuff onto the market with very limited or even worse, where they actually let a lot of the companies that make the products do the testing and report their own findings. As psychotic as that sounds, that's the truth, because this part of it I have looked into quite a bit. So, you know, it's like letting people test their own products and send in the results. That's a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, the FDA is, you know, FDA is kind of like customs, you know. It's no way can a, you know, the FDA board is not hundreds of thousands of people. It's like a very small organization,
right,
actually. So no way can they really look into the 500,000 new products that come on the market each, you know, just to pull a number out of my head.
Good example. Remember when Pringles made that, the new, their chips with Olean? I think it was called Olean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? It was supposed to be the best.
I'm
going to tell you, there was a recall on that, like, boom. And,
oh, yeah, because they said people are getting the runs.
Yeah, man. They recalled that and took it off the market immediately.
Here's whatever the fat was that they used, or fat substitute.
I've never heard of no freaking Olean.
It went straight through people like a laxative.
Hold on. Olean, right? Oh, you're lean.
Right.
What were you going to say?
That's my general rule of thumb. Anytime there's a new technology or a new food substitute or something like that comes out, I give it like 6 months to a year to let it. Because you know what? The new version of anything has been rushed out to beat the competitors. So,
that's,
you know,
it, right,
when
there,
it makes you think, though, if people are having such a reaction to it, going through them like a laxative, what were they people sitting up doing, just eating cans and cans of potato chips?
I don't know.
It's like, ooh, it won't stick to me. It's non-fat, you know, so I can eat as much as I want. So what do they buy? Like, okay, a can of Pringles is about $1.50. So they bought like 3 or 4 cans and was just like having a heyday eating potato chips.
If you ever want to know if things aren't working on the market, just go to any Dollar General store or any dollar store. Or you go to some, you know, without mentioning names, but just go to any store that sells anything for a dollar, and you'll go in there and you'll be surprised.
And I did try and it left a coating of some kind of coating, and I didn't like it because it left a coating in my mouth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it didn't affect me so much as running off at the bowels, but I'm like, it's like margarine or you know, like a plastic or something on the roof of my mouth. So I said, I got to have me some regular. I like Pringles, but if I'm going to have some food, I'm going to have a real deal, you know, when I have it. So, and gosh, I don't know when I've had some Pringles. So
you had one like at least a month ago. I gave you some.
Yeah, okay.
Remember?
Okay.
All right. So that takes us into our next one, number 5. I know we stayed in gluten there for a while, but there is competition for your body between companies, okay? And they want you, okay? You have the natural sources like sugars, companies that cane sugar make sugars. Remember when they used to say sugar was bad for you? Remember that old day?
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to go across the – sorry.
Go ahead.
I know I'm interrupting.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go across the board on that. All the stuff – butter, sugar – regular milk, all the stuff that they originally, you know, that we used for decades or longer, and then they all came out and said that stuff was bad. We're finding out that all that stuff across the board is way better for you than all the man-made crap that they're creating in laboratories.
Because everybody went from using real products to going soy and this, that, which upped the soy. Have you noticed
because of
all the soy that's planted, and most of the soy is GMO? Remember when everybody went from dairy to soy-based products? They all went to soy oil and soy milk and soy this and edamame and da-da-da-da-da. Everything was soy on the commercials and everything for a while. I guess to up the market for
Somebody had a soy process.
Guess where the largest soybean plants are grown in the world?
Here in Ohio.
Really?
And they get on the ships with the cars and go back to Japan. It's cheaper for them to grow it here, cheaper to build their cars here. And they don't have land to begin with. And plus, now with the Fukushima and all that stuff, radiation.
Yeah.
You know, here's your good old Ohio soy.
And there, a lot of their cities are very dense. I mean, dense. I mean, New York is not even near to like Tokyo or some of the big cities in Japan. I mean, dense, heavily populated cities. And the countrysides are nice and vast. It's small islands, but once you get to the countryside, it's gorgeous. But those cities are like building, packed in people. And they have, you think our apartments are small, our little studio type apartments. I mean, they have almost like closets. Like this one room is an apartment. You got your bathroom and everything in like this one little, what we call a one room space. And I don't know how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you get conditioned after a while. You get used to it. So when you get out here, it's like, wow, big land. Well, so there's a battle for your soul, I call it, but your body. But a friend of mine, Corey Brackett, who I interviewed several years ago, she talked about this product. And this product was, she couldn't figure out why she was having headaches and why she started to have symptoms of MS. And she was on a big kick, you know, to be away from sugars and stuff. She was kind of one of those people at the beginning of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And then somebody had mentioned to her, well, you know, let's see what you're eating. And everything was good until it got to one point where she had changed out her diet on the intake of sugar. She used artificial sweeteners called aspartame. Okay. So the aspartame was linked to her body breaking down and going into this weird mode and having severe headaches and severe stomach cramps and all kinds of craziness. I don't know who made aspartame, but those guys need to be hung by their toes for a while.
Can you pronounce it aspartame?
I've heard it, but I don't know what the correct pronunciation is, because every time I start saying it one way, then it seems everyone else says it a different way.
Okay, for those of you who want to hear aspartame or aspartame, pick your choice. Tomato, tomato. So, the shit kills you, okay?
Yeah.
So, I have not been able
And then Dick Cheney's on the board, I think, of this company.
Okay.
It was at one time.
Actually, it's... Okay, so here's what happened with aspartame, aspartame, whatever. It got put on... let me find a starting point here. Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, the first artificial sweetener on the market was saccharin.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out and said that saccharin was killing rats. And so they kind of demonized saccharin. I know there's new stuff on the market but as far as artificial sweeteners, I will use stuff with saccharin in it over stuff with aspartame or aspartame, however you want to pronounce it. So I do not. I find it. I mean, I get very few headaches and what. I mean, I try not to use tons of it and whatnot because it is a chemically, you know, kind of addictive thing, whatnot. But They came out and found out then after they had demonized it that it was actually they were given, you know, like a pound of it to a 1.5-pound rat. So, yeah, obviously if you...
It's going to kill.
Yeah. Rob, obviously it's going to kill anything if you ate, you know, if I ate 147 pounds of bananas a day, it would probably kill me. You know, I mean,
you really good.
Right. I mean, if you... Your intake was that ridiculous.
I don't know if you could
anything.
Eat that many bananas in one day. But
I haven't looked at this in a while, so I'm going to screw up the company names. So aspartame, they tried to get on the market three different times, and the FDA board kept declining it because they wouldn't pass it because the test they'd done shows that it caused all kinds of bad, you know, and this stuff's coming out now, it causes Alzheimer's or associated with... that it could cause Alzheimer's, different psychological problems, severe addiction, all kinds of neurological things, stuff like that. So after this company, which I'm going to say was Merck, if I'm not mistaken, they couldn't get this passed. So what they did is they literally bought the entire FDA board. They ended up getting, and the name you're looking for was not Dick Cheney, it is Donald Rumsfeld. Which
oh, him
is,
too? He's in it too?
Rumsfeld was the one most directly affected with getting aspartame passed.
Wow. I didn't know he was there. I heard his name too.
Yeah, because he was one of the heads of Merck, and I believe that is who... really pimped.
No, I said that Dick Cheney was an investor. I didn't say he was.
Oh, okay. Well, Donald Rumsfeld, and this is why I often refer to him as one of the greatest serial killers in the history of Earth, because not only did he, you know, not forget all the wars and stuff he was involved in starting through different presidents of different parties, because he's always got some unelected position of stature in the government, regardless of who's, you know, or else he's the head of some huge company. But this company hired him, got him, they fired the head of the FDA board, made him the head of the board, and he selected, they bought this judge to preside over this case. They then passed it, like, you know, one of those overnight shady things that, like, you know, the government does all the time, where they renew the Patriot Act at 3:47 in the morning, you know, on a weekend when
we're out dancing.
Right. And so then the judge that they had hired to preside over this case got this huge amount of money and then disappeared and, like, refuses to give interviews and stuff. Hmm. So this was a total scam to get this onto the market. So if you want to blame a person, and I know in a lot of scenarios you can't blame a person, but if you want to blame a person for getting Aspartame on the market, it is Donald Rumsfeld.
Okay.
And so that, yes, and now they're finding all kinds of neurological issues and stuff associated with this. And that they, one of the things they pimped, I'm sorry, this is a complete rant at this point. So one of the things that they associated Aspartame with was they tried to say that it would help you lose weight and stuff. But if you notice, a lot of the people who are, you know, the first place they really put this stuff in was like the diet pops, the diet sodas. But if you notice, most of the people who drink the diet pops, like,
they're not
they right, and they constantly have to have one. It's like the people I know that drink one of the diet sodas, they like continually have to have one.
I see it. I know people that drink like
a liter or two. I would know people that drink a liter a day.
And then I see them get those 24 packs. I mean, have three or four 24 packs a week. So how many do you think they're not drinking water? They're drinking that diet soda. And what's it going to do to them once they get about, you know, 50, 60 years old? Is it going to completely wipe out their, you know, turn their brain to cement, or their kidneys bad? Or I know people that have diabetes that drink that stuff like it's water.
Well, that's diabetes. They tried to sell that to people who were diabetic, to drink this versus sugar.
Them.
Yeah.
Yes.
My mom was one of those people, and I had to like tell her, hey, you know what?
I used to drink Diet Pop, and I loved it. I was addicted. I mean, I was just always craving. Aspartame is forget tobacco. Aspartame is the most addictive substance on the earth, they found.
I don't like the taste.
I had a lot of migraines and stuff, and I was wondering way back, like, and I wonder, was it because when I stopped cutting out a lot of the diet stuff and
I had
this
the same.
And that, I stopped having headaches and being, you know, being sick.
Do you remember when Sweet and Low used to say it causes cancer in laboratory rats on their patches?
Sweet and Low is the one that has saccharin in it. That's
right.
What I was.
They remember that? Do you remember when they said that?
Yeah, and that's why I was talking about, where they would give these rats such gigantic doses. And so now, looking back, I have to say that maybe saccharin is probably not good for you, and maybe not as good as sugar for you. But I have to say, saccharin products are probably better for you than ones with aspartame or aspartame, because I think that was part of the hit job, is they had to demonize sugar. And then they had to demonize saccharin, which was the original artificial sweetener on the market, to help get the aspartame out onto the market.
They
came out with Splenda, and Splenda still gave me headaches, so I couldn't. And that was supposed to be a derivative of real sugar, so some kind of, you know, molecule difference.
If you want to know what aspartame or aspartame is, it's called NutraSweet, just in case you need a little hint on that. And cans you buy, especially on iced teas and flavored pops.
That say no sugar added.
Yeah, don't even say that.
And
just
some of them
look.
Are in the some yogurts and stuff that you buy.
Almost all the yogurts
non-sugar.
Started having, and also all the the cakes, pies, that kind of thing. All the, like any kind of like pre-done pies and cakes and things have that. And definitely, yeah, they hit the yogurt hard, and that's why I think part of the big swing to the like the yogurts and stuff now and the Icelandic yogurts. Because they make those without
and
that artificial
sweetener.
And
ice cream sweetener. And all that that doesn't have... So, like, if you're drinking Diet Pop, having sugar-free yogurt, eating different stuff with no sugar in it all day, how much of that stuff are you putting in your system a day? And then you try to get off, and then you got to go through a withdrawal because your headaches and different stuff be worse until you just, you know...
Maybe you can
get
check
it out of
eye.
Your system.
I had horrible.
I would say go through, detox yourself if you can, and get off that stuff. My doctor told me just go back to regular, like sugar, honey, and now if sugar, honey, agave, and stevia. So
yeah.
I'm not allowed to have any artificial sweeteners, but I do like a sweetener though in my iced tea because when iced tea is nice and not cold, that's the best thing that breaks up. Mm-hmm. quickly in iced tea because sugar will
right you have to have a spoon you have to
you know what you can do is get a little bit of
seconds.
Hot water and put a little sugar in it, mix it, and then pour it in.
Okay, because
if you want to do that, I mean, if you want to go through that process,
honey will glop to the bottom of iced tea. Nothing
yeah
blends
agave
in
agave
tea.
Will break up.
Oh, okay.
Agave nectar will break up, so and then stevia is way too sweet for me.
You got to use very little.
Yeah.
It's almost like sweet and low. You just use
yeah,
just a little bit. Because
mm-hmm.
a little bit goes a long way. But at least it's natural, too.
Right.
It's a natural. So what's the next thing on the list?
All right, well, you know what, Katie? I'm going to look real quick here and see what's next on the list after this commercial break. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Yeah, we are back. No deflated balls here. Anyhow, we're back to the show, and we're talking kind of about, you know, just things that cause chronic pain in the body that we kind of consume every day. Maybe just cutting back a little bit on it might help a little bit with the pain, and it might not. It might be just to the point where you're so addicted to some of this stuff, and this stuff is very addicting, all the stuff that we're listing here, you know, your body, and high amounts of anything. You talked about that earlier. You had a high amounts of saccharin, I'm sure, make your butt bleed or something.
Right. Or if you're a rat, it would kill you.
Yes. But that's what it does to humans. It's like, affects the body.
Yeah.
We
just
know that.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I guess in general, I don't like cookie cutter anythings because I feel you miss a lot of the points. I mean, so one of the things I see is a lot of these kind of, there's always fad diets going around where, oh, just protein.
Yeah.
Oh, just carbs. Just carbs and protein. Just fruit.
Salad.
Just, and it's like, while we all need carbon and water and protein to exist, everybody's body is a little bit different. Everybody's body processes and breaks down things in a different manner. So what I found that it's a lot of the food and stuff advice I get, you have to take it I don't want to say with a grain of salt, but you have to take it with
you have to
understand that everyone's body processes
Absolutely.
Things a little bit differently, mm-hmm. and so sometimes it's the combination of, just like I've talked about with the vaccines and stuff, sometimes it's the combination of things and how they break down. Because
here's a glass of Roundup for you. Would you like some?
Right, exactly.
No, but you're right.
Because I was reading things about, like, okay, these fruits are really good for you, but then I'd see, well, these couple aren't that good for you, and, you know, it goes across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like I started reading a little bit further, and they got into, you're having to look. Sometimes it's not only what you put into your body, but what order. Because,
yeah,
like,
true.
It's really good to, like, people would have fruit for dessert,
mm-hmm.
And that's not really the way to do it.
That's what I've heard. I've heard
you should have your fruit beforehand because fruit is good sugars that break down quickly, and so that gets your digestive processes going. So you should have your fruit before your meal because it gets your body already starting to pre-digest things. That whereas when you have it on the back end, it doesn't do all the beneficial stuff it would be doing.
Right. In some cultures, they actually drink 2 cups of water before they eat anything, 40 minutes before they
eat.
And
that's a great idea,
that
too.
That helps flush. That activates, and gets your system flowing, and it gets your intestines rolling and pushing out things it needs to push out. I also heard that you should eat fruit in the morning part of the day.
Yeah.
Versus later. These are things we hear.
Right.
But I'm just saying. And then in the afternoon, you can eat this and eat that. I mean, it's just like you said. Just gotta know what's good for your body sometimes.
And the best advice that I've heard lately, and I found that this works, is you hear there's certain things that are bad for you and certain things and stuff, but I just kind of, your body tells you what you need if you just listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, don't say, oh, my body's telling me I want pizza every day. I mean, you can't do that. But I've noticed just because I've got different supplements and essential oils and vitamins and things that I take.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't really think a lot of that stuff you need every day. Just as there's certain foods, I don't think you don't need them every day. But when but I think your body communicates with you well when you listen. Like when you're craving Greek yogurt all that, maybe your body's missing some calcium or protein.
Absolutely.
Or when I have a certain essential oil or vitamin or something that keeps popping, it's like, okay, I haven't taken that in a couple of days. Maybe my body needs extra of that today. Yeah. And that seems to...
Greasy foods, example, your gallbladder is, needs some cleansing, needs something in there.
Right. Because I've been craving salt some lately, and I've been having some salty fried stuff a little bit because I found that I was feeling like my body was feeling off. And I found like I had cut down the salt stuff too much. That your body needs sodium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And too with your thigh, I'll try not to get too dorky here. Your thyroid, which in astrology is Jupiter ruled, is very sensitive to radiation. And they're more, got our cell phones here.
Yeah.
And our computers. Yeah, we're submitted to more radiation. The radiation, right? Radiation drains your thyroid and drains some of the salt and stuff out of it. So, kelp is a good thing to help replace. And a lot of people that have had weight issues and other things, it may be that their thyroid is not processing stuff properly. So sometimes a bit of you may have a bit of an iodine deficiency.
Iodine, yeah.
And kelp helps that, or any kind of seaweed.
All right. Katie asked, what's the next one? Trans fats. Trans fats. Sometimes I wonder who... Well, we already talked about the...
I really don't even know what trans fats are.
Trans fats is stuff like...
polysaturated vegetable oils.
Stuff like Crisco and man-made... fats.
It
and
stays stable in anything that stays stable in room
or
temperature.
Whatever. Because they I've heard they made people stop buying Crisco, so they had to modify the Crisco recipe in order for people to buy Crisco again after they said, started getting on the margarine and the margarine vat for you and all that stuff.
Now I hear all kinds of things that margarine's not bad for you. And it takes margarine 2 or 3 more days to break down your body versus take 1 to 2. So that's where the difference between margarines and butter, the natural stuff.
They said one or two ingredients off from plastic.
Well, I did research on that. That's not true. I looked it up. I wanted to know if that was true. And so I went on Snoop's and I checked it out. And it says that's just something that they use for, remember the battle between...
Butter
and margarine.
Yeah.
Well, this is how they fight each other. They use these negative campaigns,
right?
I feel
like butter better than margarine.
I like butter better than margarine.
I do too.
Margarine, they just put sugars and make it taste tasty. And it's petroleum.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes from the earth, so our body can break it down to some extent. bit too much of anything, like we just said. Remember, folks, it's a bit too much of anything. You're going to feel it in your body. Your body's going to tell you. Mark made a good point. Your body will tell you when you're lacking, when you're needing. And
just like you need to watch, you know, fat is fat. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's good fats and there's bad fats.
Right.
And then their good fats help to break down the bad fats.
Mm-hmm.
Just like good cholesterol and bad cholesterol in your system.
That's where trans fats can be a problem, because your body just doesn't assimilate it as well as others, and then things get stored. That's the problem with the human body. We're hoarders.
We're big storehouses.
We're little hoarders. We like to keep things. Well, I think I'm going to keep a little bit of that and put it over here in this little room. I'll put some over here. Oh, I like that. Some sugar over here.
Become
right.
Back fat and thigh fat. Yeah.
And then after a while you wonder, like, okay, why am I having problem losing weight or losing weight in this area? It's like, because your body doesn't really digest plastic that well, and
that's
you've
right.
been putting plastic in it for, you know. So, I mean, I've been a couple pounds above what I'm supposed to be for several, you know, it's hard to.
Don't even get me started with milk. Because milk's one of those topics that, you know, raw milk is better.
I don't even.
And, you know, a doctor told me that the milk that we drink in the store, that we buy in the store, is just liquefied cement. And he goes, that's why you see a lot of people, old people, with arthritis when they get to the older age, because they were sold it. You need to drink a glass of milk a day, you know.
Yeah, I was. I
you
used
ever
to drink a couple of glasses of milk a day, but I only put it in my coffee. I just splash, splash.
No, but what Mark is saying, you overcalcify the body. You
mm-hmm.
start. You. We have a lot of trust in suburban medicine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't, but
I mean, but we do as a general whole.
Right.
I'm not
right.
saying you do, or
right,
we, you know,
right.
but the general population trusts their doctor. They believe what the doctor says is true. I have a parent who's like that. My mom's like that. My dad's not like that, but my mom's like that. My mom says the doctor said this and the doctor said that, and I have to go to my mom. You need to really think about this, because this is what this does. Ask the doctor, because people don't know how to ask doctors the questions.
Yes. Yes.
Well, will this affect me in this way? Oh, how'd you know that? Who told you that? I remember when they were going to put something on my daughter, they weren't going to give her something for her. You know, her. She had infantago on her face. So it was a candida situation. And so I told the doctor, and they were going to give her something. I said, well, she's having some intestinal issues here. Something in her body is not digesting food, breaking it. And she goes, because it's coming out of her face. It's coming in through her lungs. She's coming out through her skin. That's where it comes
mm-hmm.
out. Oh, yeah, that's true. So it's a wife. I'm like, so why are you going to give her this? You're just going to shut it down and mask it. You're just cutting. You're just like masking tape, you know, not even duct tape. They're putting masking tape. There's a big difference between duct tape and masking tape on something. You know, Markel needs the cure, and he needs to help. I helped my daughter through that. We took the stuff, and it didn't work, and I said, Markel, it's because that's not what it's supposed to do. Doctors, I don't think doctors are in the business for healing. Doctors are in the business to pimp you freaking medicine, and if you break a leg, put a cast on it, fine. There's places for them, but there's some things I just think they're just the biggest pimps for.
I agree.
For the pharmaceutical companies.
I agree.
If there are doctors listening out there, prove me wrong, because as far as I know, I don't know too many doctors who prescribe anything natural to their patients that I know. I've never had a doctor tell me, well, why don't you go out and eat some dandelion out of your yard and help you with this and that, you
right.
know, with your blood, you know.
Right.
You don't hear that. Very rare.
Right. And why not, yeah, and why not, you know, fresh peppermint if you're having digestive problems.
Yeah.
Instead of this some over-the-counter.
No, then they.
Right, which makes your stomach even worse.
They make these synthetic products out of natural products. They have to synthesize the products in order so they can patent it and put copyrights on it. So they take mint and they make this mint version so another company can't steal their idea. They reverse engineer everything. It's mint. No, it's not mint. It has all the compounds and all the molecules of mint, but it's not mint.
Right. And that's where I try to use some common sense, because throughout, I mean, granted, for the last, let's say since the early, mid-70s or early 80s, you know, there's been lots of, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff that people, and there's over-the-counter stuff you can get, and there's some good over-the-counter stuff if you're sick and whatnot. But in general, mankind survived for 2,000, you know, for the last 4,000 years without having a pharmacy around the block. Without having a doctor giving you a bunch of, you know, it's really, this is just a new invention. You know, having some pharmaceutical to help everything or whatnot. This is a last 30-year thing. This is people survive for thousands of years without, you know, by taking a dandelion or getting some fresh peppermint or fruit for your vitamin C.
You had to go into nature. Mm-hmm. You had to go into nature and you had to find the things that helped you, because if you didn't, you were going to die or you're going to be sick or you're going to have issues.
Yep.
Just like the, I don't know if you all have had a colonoscopy.
Not recently.
I mean, I had one about a month or so ago. And the stuff they give you to prep, the polyglycol cystoline or whatever it's called, that stuff is, in actuality, it's like a powdered oil plastic substance that you dissolve in water, juice, or whatever you want to drink, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And you drink it down, and it coats, it goes through, it's like a Drano. It goes through and coats your intestine and pushes everything out of the way and pushes it down and out of your system, so to speak. So most people, that's what they're told to get. It's like Murlax is one of the names, or Ducalax is the over-the-counter name.
Murlax, I don't like the word lax.
Or you can get it, your doctor can prescribe it to you and get it poly, what I like call cystoline or something. You know that stuff is in some other products that's on the market also that's masked into, I saw it in something not too long ago and I'm like, that's Duralax or whatever. In some of your
things.
So watch the, I would say read your labels. Be careful to read the labels of what you buy, what you drink, what you consume or put into your mouth. Because sometimes I'm standing in the aisle reading the label of something and people are trying to get around. And I'm
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the label. I gotta read what
you
I'm
see how they get us to stay
I'm
in the store longer? They make us read labels now. Why don't you read your label? You might stay longer.
You
might buy two products versus one.
Come through and put stuff in their cart and just blindly and putting stuff in their grocery cart. And you look at them and they're all gray looking and either gray or sluggish or whatever. And I'm like, and I wanted to say, don't you know you're poisoning yourself by what you're
It's funny you said
cart?
That.
And, you know, you. And they had something not too long ago on news about the juices. Read, when you go down to juice aisle, make sure you read and look at what kind of juice and what's in the juice you're buying.
Are you talking about the ones that are on the
juice
room
aisle.
Temperature?
Yeah.
Room temperature side?
So,
okay.
Because you don't know what you're drinking or your kids are drinking. So, and some of them mislabel the products. They'll say it's this when it's really that.
Yeah.
So, you know, just read your label.
If grape juice can stay on the shelf and it's not wine, I'm not buying it, man.
Right. And that's about, we'll talk about, I mean, there's, it's very interesting, I find, because I've traditionally, throughout my history on this, on the little blue marble, been very bad about looking at expiration dates on things in my refrigerator. So I tried to pay a little more attention to that. It's not always been a strong point for me.
And those aren't even correct. They're really for the factories and the warehouses more so than for people to read.
Yeah, that's scary.
But is it supposed to smell like this? I don't
right.
know.
Right.
I would just say whatever you buy, try to consume it within a nice amount of time.
But I've noticed now there's such weird fluctuations on what the expiration dates are on things. It's kind of weird. Like, you know, it's like a lot of the lettuce you buy now will stay good for like...
Yeah.
Like longer than it really... like, it's good.
Is it lettuce?
But I don't feel that it should still be good at this point.
Yeah.
Or you'll have those products that look good in the grocery store... And all nice and bright. I don't know if it's the lights or what. But then you get it home, you have it home for 2 days, and then they're smoldy. So just like strawberries.
Strawberries
nice
are notorious for that. Yeah.
And nice looking in the grocery store. You don't even get to eat them, and they're moldy. So you got to throw them out. It's like you got to, when you buy them, you got to eat them that day almost in order to get them good, or they're going to go moldy the next the next day or something. So.
I went to the store twice this week, you know, on the weekend into the new week. And I made an observation that I wasn't even thinking about until I was like, well, let's see what kind of people shop here. And, of course, kind of including myself, you know, I included myself. And I looked, and I'm like, okay, that's cool, interesting. And then I went to this other store, not on the same day, but on the day later, and I wanted to observe the people. And there was a big difference between the people. I went to, I don't want to give any names because I don't want to promote anybody's business, you know, because they're not paying any advertising.
G-E or K?
We'll say I went to Puckey's, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And everybody was young and vibrant. Everybody was like hipster. Everybody was like buying, you know, and they were buying stuff at like $18 a pound sirloins. Like it was nothing. You know, it was just like, I was just looking, I'm going, that's pretty cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was fresh, okay? Then I went to this other store called, we'll just call them, I'm not going to say the name, okay?
Big Bird.
Just, they discriminate against their workers. We'll just say that, okay?
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Okay.
And so I went there, and the energetically the feel was different too, you know, and the produce didn't look fresh.
Yeah.
And you know, and the people were there were just like,
yes.
I don't
and
know.
The meat they shoot it full of nitrogen.
And the meat, and I was looking at the meat, I was going, man, it was there was a huge difference.
It's in those blister right. packs. Then.
Yeah.
I agree. I like the energy at Puckey's.
Yeah.
So I like the energy.
I like Puckey's.
And you know their price, and Puckey's, you know, their prices, okay,
are pretty good.
Are pretty damn good on just about everything, I thought.
Yeah.
The meat maybe be a little higher, but that's okay because hopefully you're expecting fresh. But the vegetables were, I mean, they were like, damn, I was like.
Pretty good. I like buying their vegetables.
You know, and it's fresh and it goes fast and moves quick.
Right.
And they have great sales on Wednesday. Is there like?
Mm-hmm.
Sale day for vegetables, and then they give a lot of their produce too to the CDC the TDC the CRC. They give quite a bit of it to the CRC, which is the community center in Clintonville.
And then my buddy works in the cheese department, and he saw him, and he goes, "Hey, I heard this voice," and I turned around, and he goes, "I said, what are you doing here?" And he goes, "I thought you worked at Ogre's." And he goes, "No, I don't work at Ogre's anymore." He goes, "Yeah, Ogre's doesn't treat people right," he said. He goes, "I'm like, okay." He goes, "But I'm here at Puckey's and I'm working here at Puckey's." And he's like, "But they treat me so good here, everything's nice." And he goes, "It just kind of has a European feel," doesn't he? He goes, "Yeah," because he's German. And he goes, "Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's more of a hipster, hippie. You know, people really care about each other, and they care about what they're really buying. You know, and then, you know, it's not like people just throw things in their cart. You know, everybody, really, even there, they look at the labels. You know,
yeah, right. I like their place where they have craft beers and ciders and stuff because you can buy them one at a time if you want to. Because sometimes you don't want to spend $9 for a 6-pack. You just want one, so you can
right.
buy one for
yeah.
$2 or something.
Well, I know you can go right. to the Giant Beagle. Giant Beagle has the huge selection of beers and wines, and I mean, not to promote Giant Beagle or anything, but
right. I tend to like the Beagle.
Beagle.
Yeah. Or is it the Dirty Bird, as I call it?
The Dirty Bird. The Giant Beagle.
I also like Maresh Mime Market. I find that there's a good energy, too, just like Stuckey's has.
Yeah. How about Bold Oods?
I like the energy at Bold Oods, but I found that it's a little pricey. However,
yeah, it is pricey. Isn't it?
There
it
is are
pricey.
one of the great benefits, I have anyways from where I live. And I guess that everybody in Columbus has is there's 3 or 4 places you can go to get different items that are, you know, have local stuff and organically produced and that have, there's enough of them too that they,
like Mater's Cove,
that they, yes, yes.
Oh, we sure have fun on this show.
Goodness. Yes, I also like Mater's Cove. Yes, they have some good things. There's like four or five places pretty close to me that I can, because there's still some things are still pretty expensive at some of the places, but I can go get what I feel is a pretty good product at several different places.
Yeah, I bounce around too, so don't think.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not exclusive. I'm not exclusive to one store.
Right, because I'm kind of like, okay, when I need to stock up, I'll wait till I know this Stuckey's has good prices on three or four things, and Materscope Stoves has good prices on it. So I'll kind of bounce around and kind of try to stock up on what I can at each, and then I just kind of do the circuit, and then
I don't go to Ogre's too much.
Mresh Mime.
I don't like Ogre's for some reason.
Is really close to me, so I can
Yeah, not unless they have something that's on sale and I want to stock up on that one particular item. Just like one time they had Special K crisp bars. And I like those.
Circle K.
Buy four boxes, you get.
Because they're not around anymore, are they?
Something.
Circle K is gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, some of them. The one on Olentangy and Bethel closed down, and it's now an apartment building, which they got up amazingly fast.
Yes.
I'll go to. The other day we went to Mineral Lawler, and they had. They had really great prices on, like, I needed some like utensils and type things for the kitchen and stuff that I had never.
I like Jader Toes a lot for their dried.
She changed it.
For their dried fruit and vegetables.
Jader, I like hers better.
For their dried fruit and nuts.
Right,
but like Mineral Lawler, I needed some. Some pans and like salt and pepper shakers and stuff that I had never bothered to get. So they had good price. I don't know.
Do you go to Bob Lutz?
I go to Bob Lutz's sister location, which is called Lig Ots.
Big Lutz?
Yes. So I go there for some stuff. I mean, they have good prices. I mean, like, that's a good place to get like household like towels and blankets and like kitchen types. You know, like if you need a blender or coffee maker or stuff like that.
Occasional tools they have.
And then they have occasional gourmet products too that I like to look for if I need some pickled peppers or something like that for canned something.
Yeah.
Or just a. idiot recipe or something that I'm doing.
All right.
They have a good price on like cat towers and stuff.
Huh?
Cat towers.
Oh, that's where I got those sparkly little boots I had on the other night.
Those are cool. Number seven is sugar.
Sugar.
High amounts of sugar in a diet will increase the amount of the final products of into your body.
There's
it's like anything.
I don't think.
Sugar, corn sugar.
Yeah.
It's a binding. It binds the glucose in your system. Too much sugar causes pain. It creates proteins, becomes solid and rigid.
Everything in balance. Sugar's okay for you as long as you're...
Right.
Just like everything in moderation, everything in balance.
You know, when I have too much sugar, I can feel it. It's like...
Right.
And it brings you up or down.
I usually need a little bit in the morning to help get me going with, the caffeine and stuff.
Gotta have your candy, right?
Yeah. A good general rule of thumb that somebody had told me several years ago that I found works really well when you're talking about the general aches and pains and stuff, when you kind of get those joint or your calves or whatever start and you haven't, done anything to strain them, and I found it's a water deficiency. So I found a lot of times the little like sudden aches and pains that come up.
Drink some water.
Right.
I've got to do that more.
Water or juice will kind of like fix a lot of those really quick.
Water is probably one of the best things for you in moderation too.
Right. But again, that gets into the whole debacle. I mean, I got so frustrated with the whole water fiasco because it's like, okay, tap water versus bottled water. And then there's spring water and then there's reverse osmosis, yeah. And then it just gets into such a nightmare. It's like,
I mean, drinking. Spray. Change the vibration. You are now good water.
Thank you,
Iggy.
Right now, I'm just doing spring water for most of the time on.
And you know, we just advise that you do what's best for your body. What's best for you. So number eight is foods which are sensitive or allergic. Okay, so that means you have to monitor what you're eating. Okay,
right.
Because if you like wheats and you know it causes this, if you're intolerant to gluten, then you know potatoes and sugars. If you know these things, you're just going to be your biggest advocate. Because what happens if you don't, it says you destabilize your insulin. And it lowers your blood sugar levels, which increases inflammation in the body. Okay, so.
Yeah. And
things that you're allergic to.
Monitor. That's funny because just like I've been doing that app that I put in everything I eat. And sometimes I do it right away. Sometimes I do it, you know, just like maybe a day late or something. But it lets me look to see what I'm eating and how many calories I've taken in and all that. So. And that helps. It's making me more mindful. And then to read labels and stuff, because they got this little thing on there where you can scan the barcode of the food, and then it'll list all the nutrients and stuff, and then it'll tell you, oh, you had too much sodium, or you had too much fat, or you had too much this, or too little of that. Mostly, I'm eating too little of nutrients that I need. So, and it's a good thing to do. Keeps your brain saying, oh, you did.
Number nine, caffeine.
That's something I have a lot of.
Caffeine.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got to have
inflammation and chronic.
Yeah, I've got
too much.
Right. I've way cut down on my caffeine.
Yeah.
But
I do too.
I do need some in the morning. Sometimes in the, you know, maybe late afternoon, I'll want something that's got a little
coffee caffeine.
You know, on the coffee plant, the caffeine in the coffee plant. Mm-hmm. Is actually a natural insecticide of the plant. It's used to keep the bugs off of it.
Okay.
So, and that's why it causes the jitters and stuff. So it's a natural.
One thing coffee does that is good in the morning. My grandmother used to tell us this even before the news or something. They said it the other day on the phone, but my grandmother would always have a cup of coffee in the morning, first thing in the morning, because she said it would get her bowels going. So
I've heard that too.
And it does. And then they just had it on the news the other day. Coffee is good, maybe first thing in the morning to have a cup because it'll get you. It'll
black
get
coffee
you
works better. Black black coffee, keep the cream out of it. But black coffee usually works good. And number 10, what do you guys think it is?
Steak.
No. Rhymes with punk.
Junk. Ooh.
Junk food. I'm usually pretty guilty on this one.
Junk food, chips, cheese, corn, cheese curls. Popcorn's actually good for you. It's
popcorn's
when you put
actually
the butter,
pretty good.
Salt, and cheese and all kind of other stuff on it that makes it bad. Plain by itself is good. Like chips aren't really bad for you, but all the salt and oil in them are. So, I love those popcornings that are like styrofoam puffs.
Oh yeah.
Now those are.
You could probably put them in a package and send them somewhere.
Yeah, those are addictive, and that's what they're made from corn. That's what those popcorn styrofoam in packages are actually made from corn. So. Ooh, that's kind of scary sometimes, too.
So we can't leave without telling you at least four good things to eat to alleviate chronic pain, all right, since we're halfway through almost in that show. Number one, avocados.
Yeah, good fat.
Okay, vitamin K. Number two, raw walnuts contain high amounts of fatty omega-3 fatty acids that your body needs. Number three, dark leafy greens, kale, spinach, Swiss chards, collard greens. Cilantro, different types of things. Cilantro is good to remove heavy metals out of the body. So that's what we had yesterday. Cilantro stew was really good. Number four, sea vegetables. Okay, so I guess I'm assuming that's seaweed
kelp.
And stuff like that.
Kelp, yeah.
Number five is ginger.
Love ginger.
Ginger is good.
That's the Chinese.
I can never get this word right. It's A-C-A-I berries.
I-C-I.
Axie berries? What is that?
Some people just say ACI.
ACI berries, okay. Number seven, what I use is turmeric. I use a lot of that, turmeric.
Yep.
Number eight is cherries.
Love cherries.
Cherries are good for you.
Yeah.
Number nine, flaxseed. And number 10, red grapes. And if any of you guys want to know where we found this information, you can go to healthandlovepage.com.
The health and love page.
Okay. That's where our source came from, so you can sue them. But no, we wanted to share that with you because we think it's important. That's why it's lunchtime wisdom. So hopefully you got something out of the show today. I think I learned a lot talking and sharing. So all those lists are there, things that you want to avoid and things that you can't have. So again, that's healthandlovepage.com. So anything you guys want to close with?
Try to read your labels. Know what you're eating, what you're putting in your body.
Listen to your intuition.
All right. We still have some time left, so is there anything you guys want to talk about before we leave?
Question. Some of you all out there might have this. I'm a Scorpio, and I've talked to about three or four Scorpios lately about their love life or relationship life, and most of them I found out aren't lucky in love or keep relationships long. And like me, mine usually lasts me about 2 years and then they're done with. So, and I found out that with other Scorpios. So I'm just remark, I'm wondering what it is, or I kind of analyzed what I've done in relationships and I've asked some other people and they can't seem to figure it out either. And most Scorpios too are sensitive and intuitive people. So maybe it's just the thing with, I don't know if there's probably some Scorpios out there that have great relationships and had great relationship experiences, which I have. It's just that they don't last too long.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You want to tackle that?
So, yeah. So in, in general, I mean, Scorpio is one of my favorite signs. I have lots of people I'm close to that are Scorpios. I really like the, and even at some point our little group here is going to get together and go over charts and stuff. There's a huge Scorpio theme within our little close-knit group. We all, even if we're not sun sign Scorpios, we all have a lot of Scorpio energy in our charts. So Scorpio gets a really bad rap because they feel in love and do things on a deeper, more intense level than a lot of the other signs. So they get misrepresented as maybe being possessive or jealous or stalkerish or, you know, all these negative words that get thrown at them. And it's not. They experience reality on a deeper level than a lot of people. So if you've not dealt with, been in a relationship with, or worked with somebody who's a Scorpio or has a lot of Scorpio energy, that energy can be a little bit overwhelming at first until you get used to it and see what it is. I mean, the main Scorpio theme is kind of, you know, breaking taboos and transforming. So Scorpios align themselves with things that they can transform, you know, that they can merge, become one with, and transform through. So if they don't find the people that can understand this energy and that are also looking to continually change and transform themselves, then they can be like at odds with people. There's some people are just wanting a very, just and you know, not to be judgmental of them. Some people are not here this time around to devote an extreme amount of time to working out the relationship thing. Maybe they've already figured it out, or maybe they're just not here to do that this time. So sometimes the Scorpio intensity can be a little much for them. And if they're not able
much
to...
for other people.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So Scorpios get a really bad rap on some things. But our little group has Lot, me, Iggy, Katie, Adriana. We all four have a lot of Scorpio energy in our charts. And I believe I have to look at David's chart again. I believe he too has some, and Mary is a Libra, so I think she most likely has some Scorpio. The Scorpio energy. Yeah, but he's got a lot of water. He's got Moon and Pisces. He's got a whole lot of sun signs. I don't give a whole ton of credibility to sun signs of themselves a lot of times. So I think we all have a lot of water energy, even if we're not water sun signs. So, yeah, the Scorpios just kind of get a bad rap sometimes. It's like, but they need to merge. They need things that can change and merge and transform.
And someone tolerant of our extreme or our intense.
Right.
Just like people can tell when I'm around. They're like, oh, I know you were stung. I felt your energy. I'm like, wow.
Right.
I wasn't even putting it on because I know I can take my energy and throw it.
Right.
But sometimes I'm just trying to be, you know, just kind of.
Pull your aura in a little bit so it's not
overwhelming. Yeah, pour it in, okay?
Pull
it back.
We'll send you to work at Stuckey's. So in general, that's how the Scorpio energy plays. And they're really good at long-term and committed relationships when they're with the right people, which I guess can pretty much go with any sign, but they have to be with somebody who's got that transformative, wanting to reinvent themselves kind of energy.
Awesome. I liked what we talked about today.
Yeah.
It's important. It's important for us to hear that again. We've talked about it a little bit in the past, but I think it's always good to remind ourselves about what we're putting in our mouth or what we're not putting in our mouth.
Right. It's all holistic. It's all, you know, mind, body, spirit. You put junk in the... Because I found it...
Junk in the trunk.
Get in the trunk.
Right. I found, too, if you want to use the term ascension symptoms or whatever, kundalini rising, whatever term you're comfortable with, I find a lot of, like I found in myself and a lot of other people... We're not necessarily vibrating at the same energy level we were before. So I'm finding a lot of people are having to really address their eating habits right now. Some people are needing more heavy food to kind of ground and center themselves in their physical body a little bit, whereas they maybe used to be extremely health conscious. There's some people that have needed a little extra fat. Meat.
I always eat a little extra.
Right.
I've been eating a lot of light greens and soups and light whole grain pastas and stuff like that lately.
Right.
Trying to be more mindful of not the heavy stuff, but gosh, I haven't had any mac and cheese or pound cake or, you know, like heavy carbs in a while. And I'm like, ooh, I want some mac and cheese and pound cake.
Well, I find that I've been wanting to cook more at home versus just shooting off and go eat somewhere. Like tonight, I'm going to make 15 bean Cajun soup.
Oh, that sounds good.
So if you guys want to come back a little bit later, you're more than welcome.
Iggy's quite the kitchen soup cook.
Yeah, I missed the cilantro soup.
Last night you missed
the
cilantro stew. It was the Peruvian cilantro stew. So good.
Nice.
Made with spinach and cilantro and nice fine cuts of meat, potatoes, golden potatoes with baby carrots and peas.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
And turmeric rice.
I had greens though last night. Greens and black-eyed peas, and that was pretty good.
I like that group.
Right. So I'm finding a lot of people are having to change their. Some people are needing heavier stuff to keep them grounded. Some people are used to eating heavier stuff or maybe needing lighter stuff. I'm finding a lot of people's eating habits and what they need have changed recently.
Cool.
So I'll pimp my show for a second real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
This Friday on Mark the Rabbit Hole, I'm going to have Reverend Gary C. Heron will be my guest. And then February 6th, I'm going to have a really awesome astrologer out of New York City named Matthew Curry. And then I believe February 13th, got a big guest. long as her schedule is still available, I think we're going to have Katie Galanti on, who is really knowledgeable in her field. That will be an entertaining show. She is a demonologist, amongst other things. We will get into some very interesting topics there.
It's always fun.
And then we will have, yes, so I have Kim Rogers on in February also. And February 20th, we Matt Mouchot. February 27th, Kim Rogers, and possibly a special guest with her. And then Melinda Carver, first week of March.
And he's jam-packed full.
Nine, and then I got another big guest from outside of the U.S. I talked to this morning. I'm trying to lure in.
All right. On next week's show, I'd like to cover, if we can, what would you do for $10,000? Would you sleep in a coffin for a night?
I've done that.
Would you be locked upside down in a cage with a bunch of great white sharks at the bottom?
Oh, no, not that.
But it's always interests me what people would do for money.
But I've been
what they would give
upside
away.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah, I already. I have certain limitations that I would not do for probably $1 million.
I think that would be an interesting show.
Phobias that, yeah.
I think that would be an interesting show. What you would do for money?
Huh.
So next week,
a coffin
tune in.
Isn't so bad because I grew up with morticians. So
well, for you maybe not, but $10,000, would you sleep in a coffin closed?
Oh, I would
underground.
Now you have to put stipulations.
Well, you know, you stipulate. I mean, because that's what happens. With, I mean, as long as you knew you're going to come
before,
in. Okay,
so
I would probably be.
In a close.
I'd probably be frighteningly comfortable in a coffin. Actually.
Okay. But those are the things
we're gonna
talk about. What the human spirit will do for energetic money next week. Talk a little astrology. We'll talk a little bit about how our day went. But I want to go into that little corner there. And hopefully you reach some of your goals this first month in 2015. For those of you who set goals, who are into that. I don't think Mark's into that. But so I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your week. Mark the Rabbit Hole Friday. Mud Toe at midnight Friday. We'll talk to you guys later.